At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In a world where Jurassic Park was born again, and Jurassic Park was gone, but now it's back, and now it's Jurassic time, and it's Jurassic Rebirth, which means it's different. And where do all of these new islands even keep coming from? Feels like we should run out of islands at some point. This is the HBO boys, and we're here to talk about Jurassic World Rebirth.
Rebirth.
Oh.
They made another one of these, huh?
They made another one, and you know, this, I was excited, and I feel a little betrayed.
Okay.
I was excited for it because, like, it was a completely new set of people. There were no, like, real callbacks to the other ones. Not really,
okay.
Kind of, but, like...
So,
yeah.
Your reasoning, like, for being excited was basically it was, like, a tabula rasa, blank slate version of a Jurassic Park story.
Yeah.
Where, like, at least Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard aren't in it, so we're sort of entering phase 3 of the Jurassic universe.
Sure.
And it had the ability to be anything.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, I was excited for the same reason.
Yeah.
And now I'm furious.
Yeah,
for the same reason.
I mean, ScarJo is in there, dude.
ScarJo's in it.
Mahershala Ali was in there.
The person who has made the most money in movies, period, ScarJo's.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? She crossed that mark. Was it with this movie?
I believe it was. And obviously that's going to go away when Doomsday comes out and Robert Downey Jr. Once again takes that crown. Yeah. But yeah, we'll obviously get into this little film here in a minute, but and we're gonna be, if you're not getting the vibe yet, critical of it the entire time. But I will say it was a $225 million budget and made $845 million.
It did well. And you know, the one thing I will give it is the set pieces were ginormous. It was really intense, and it didn't feel like a CGI like extravaganza. I think they handled how it looked really well, but that's about it.
Yes, and we'll obviously talk about the three major set pieces that sort of just could have been stitched together and didn't need any of the other. I mean, the other parts were barely there to begin with. Why have them there at all?
Like, sure.
And I don't know. It's this. Well, let's just start describing what happens in the movie, because from the very beginning, there are some what I'll call fatal flaws. So,
of course,
we are all the way back. It is 2008, as it's always said. An engine is operating a dinosaur research lab in the Atlantic Ocean. They are using genetic experiments, and they're making mutated dinosaurs because they didn't think if they could, they or should, and they thought they could. Jeff Goldblum. So,
that was a great rendition of that very iconic movie line.
Thanks, man. Hold on to your buttocks. So they're making these mutated creatures. The definition of hubris doesn't under... How not one person was like, so what? So they've gone insane. What? How many times? 8 of them? 8 times, huh? Why don't we make them crazy?
Yeah, let's make them crazy. Pretty much make them like not so modified super dinosaurs that are like... wild and super strong.
Yeah, seems just like a nobody great saw. Idea. Nobody saw the worst case. How in this universe does nobody see the worst case scenario every time and go, you know what, guys, maybe this time we don't make a bigger, weirder dinosaur.
Yeah, you know, I think they should have learned. But then again, this is kind of like playing off of the underground world of Jurassic Park that we found out in the final of the Chris Pratt trilogy. Yeah,
listen. Yeah. I know the answer is capitalism, Adam. I'm aware that, like, we're going to make that dinosaur money continues to be the, like, narrative MacGuffin that they can ride into every sunset forever and make apparently almost $1 billion. So they're going to keep doing it, obviously. But when there's a six-limbed Tyrannosaur that escapes containment and it doesn't even seem like that first scene I thought was so anticlimactic and weird.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel suspense the entire time. I knew what was going to happen. Oh, the big weird mutated dinosaur, get out.
I mean, they showed it in the trailers. That was like the first thing you see.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I am so mad at trailers. If it's not on the nose, the D-Rex, it's so called, is the Distortus Rex, which means...
What a terrible name.
It means deformed king.
Good. It's the unobtainium of dinosaur names.
Yeah.
Just awful. So we fast forward now, it's 2025, and the climate has gotten bad. So bad, in fact, that it's inhospitable for dinosaurs. Probably people, too.
Yeah.
What a cool political statement Jurassic Park is making. Anyway.
Dinosaurs are just very normal, like the guy's in his car, and there's just a brontosaurus on the road.
Oh, my God. Traffic again. Why? Stupid brontosaurus dying brontosaurus over the road again.
They're always here on Fridays.
I cannot get to a goddamn ice cream shop without seeing an apatosaurus strewn across a roadway. Anyway, at the equator, though, they're fine because it's like the Mesozoic area, so it's fine. There will always be another island. And we meet the obvious bad guy, Martin Krebs. He's an executive at a pharmaceutical company called Parker Genix. And he recruits a team, and he's going to the equator, and he's going to get dinosaur juice because dinosaur juice is so very expensive, and he's going to make all the money off the dinosaur juice.
And this is like the Horcruxes in the Harry Potter world. We got to get one of each type of dinosaur.
Right. It's also, by the way, akin to, I already said unobtainium, you know, the first Avatar. It's akin to the second Avatar where they were like, you know what? No longer do we need to be using the unobtainium magoofs. We could just make it whale juice. So like Avatar 2 made it whale juice.
Yeah.
Or just big Avatar based aquatic creature juice.
Sure.
And Jurassic Park Rebirth was I assume Gareth Edwards was watching that movie and was like, boom, make a dinosaur juice. We're done here, aren't we?
The whole beginning of the movie just happened so quickly. Like, I'm talking past like the lab. Like, you know, the lab part at the very, very beginning, like where we meet ScarJo's character, and like they're like, we have to go to this island and capture the dino juice. And the guy's just like, but I don't want to do that. I want to preserve the dinos. And they're like, well, you kind of like are. So like, don't you want the notoriety that you're the person that, and like, you need this for your career, dude. Like, I was like, this is so cheesy.
All at the same time,
yeah.
Zora, played by ScarJo, and Duncan, played by Marshall Ali. I didn't get that name right.
That's okay.
Ali. I went into the name confidently thinking, like, you could just push through it. I couldn't. Anyway, the point is, those two, the way that we get their tragic backstories is that they walk into a part of the boat where no one is. How big is this boat, by the way?
It's giant.
And ScarJo is like, how's your tragic backstory? And the guy is like, pretty tragic. How's yours? And ScarJo's like, even tragicer.
So tragicer.
It was just a terrible scene. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It was the worst tragic backstory exposition I've ever seen in any movie.
Yeah,
ever,
it was.
I think.
It felt like it took a long time to, like, they really marinated in that one, and it didn't need it. Like, throw it on the grill, dude. It tastes good already.
ScarJo Zora, she's the world's best shot, sort of outlandish mercenary. But
wait, she's Black Widow? Crazy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's true. A little bit. Yeah, being typecast a little bit, ScarJo. But, you know, also $845 million. You know what I mean? Anyway.
Yeah, she also was weirdly, like, confident. You know, she was like, we're going to just go take these dinosaurs down. And I'm like,
yeah, no. I feel like the what about my tragic backstory of it all was really meant to make us feel like these guys got nothing to lose.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And then that's happening, right? They go to, they're in the water. A big old dinosaur is attacking them. It also attacked a sailboat not a little bit while back. And on that sailboat is the Lincoln lawyer, his kids, and one of his daughter's annoying boyfriend. Ugh. And that entire storyline didn't need to exist.
Oh,
and I wish
it
wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, they could have cut probably 30 minutes, 40 minutes out of the whole movie and made it cooler.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I feel as though like it was a weird out they used to fill time, like
to fill time and like give a reason to make the bad guy bad. Like he like pretty much made like killed the girl or whatever, like let her die kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, she's coming back for revenge, this son of a bitch.
Like, you're right. Yes, it's like, oh, he's willing to kill a kid. I didn't like this guy before, but now I definitely don't like him.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah, anyway, now the party gets split, kind of put together and then split once more after being attacked, but also getting the juice of the water dinosaur. Mm. And we are now on this like weird y-axis of one story's going one way, one story's going the other. They kind of have nothing to do with each other. They are just going back and forth with action or suspense set pieces mm-hmm. in two desperate stories that will then once again join together at the end to make a third act kill box that is barely interesting. And I don't know. I think we could keep describing exactly what happens in the middle. But okay, here's the thing. What is your favorite action set piece that was in Jurassic Park Rebirth? World, sorry, fuck.
No, Jurassic Park Rebirth. Yeah.
Definitely Jurassic World Rebirth, buddy.
No, I know. I was like, just give me some shed of happiness in this movie. No. Honestly, I'm going to be very truthful. Nothing really sticks out. I think the one part that sticks out because we, you know, the payoff finally happened is when the D-Rex gets outside and you see it in the smoke and it attacks the freaking helicopter. I was like, that's cool. But that, of course, that was like the very end of the movie, you know, spoilers.
Right.
And
the part that's supposed to be the best. Yeah.
And that was like really the only part. I did like the idea of the raptors in like the old gas station. It's very reminiscent of The Lost World. They kind of did that in The Lost World. But what I don't like is that they're recycling all of these iconic like sets from the original movie, like the raptors in the gas station, and they're like tapping their foot on the ground and it's really slow, like when Tim and Lex were in the kitchen in the first movie. Like,
oh, you mean one of the most iconic scenes in movie history?
Iconic scene, but they already did it and they did it again and they've replayed that multiple times throughout this whole series. I'm done with it. I don't need any more red flares to show that the dinosaur can see. We get it.
Right. But it's cool when the dinosaurs are red, Adam.
The dinosaurs are red and they're cool, but like
what don't you get about this, Adam? It's cool when they're red.
They hold the flare up like Ian Malcolm and Dr. Grant in the first movie, like all epic and badass, like it's some sort of like rite of passage for anyone encountering dinosaurs. I don't like it.
Which BT Dubs, they have budget Ian Malcolm in the form of Dr. Henry Loomis, played by Jonathan Bailey.
Yeah.
Technically, he's like budget Sam Neill and budget Laura Dern combined. So it's super budget them. But either way, I had the most hope for his character as being interesting, a foil. I really like Jonathan Bailey. I think he's great in Wicked. I think everything he's in. He's really, really good. I wanted to be the shining light of this movie. And I just don't think there was anything in this movie that could have made anybody a shining light. So he didn't get there. But at the same time, like, I just cared about zero of these characters is the main issue.
It's true. It's really true.
Like, you're supposed to care about Blade That Never Was plus ScarJo's because of that tragedy scene. I came out of it, which is why I stopped watching the movie once after that scene. I was like, nope, because I knew at the end of it, I was supposed to from then on care if either of them died, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Also, as a side note, I did fall asleep three different times trying to watch this movie. And so,
You know, they really tried to get you to like the family. And like, I think I liked the dad's character in the whole thing. You know, he was trying to protect his daughters and he wants the boyfriend to kind of prove himself. And he's like holding him to a high standard. That's fine. I still agreed with you that they shouldn't have been part of this whole thing. But one of the most, disappointing scenes in this whole movie was the raft scene with the T-Rex on the river.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was so cringy. It was so hard to watch that scene. It felt like they didn't know what they were doing, but they still had to model a CGI dinosaur to do it. You know?
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
What could they have done in that scene to make it rip?
Not do it.
Oh, come on. No, yeah, there's got to be something in that could have made it rip.
So I think there was some pacing issues with it. Like, she opened up the raft, right? And the dinosaur disappeared behind the raft. And it was all elusive. And then it just popped up behind her. And, like, you wouldn't be able to... Like, you would be able to hear that. Like, when I was watching this, I'm like, there's no way. Oh, because
dinosaurs are huge?
Yeah, there's no way that this even can translate at all to something that could happen. It just didn't make sense timing-wise, size-wise, sound-wise. And then the dinosaur chasing after them down the river, and then just not going through the thing when he could have stepped over the thing to get to him still. It just felt, everything about it felt ridiculous, and I didn't like it.
Also, more people should have been eaten by dinosaurs.
There's a couple cool deaths, but
the bad guy was eaten by dinosaur.
Yeah,
that's fine,
of course,
right? Bad guy gets eaten by dinosaur. That's okay. Although I will say, you know, one of my favorite parts of the first movie, which, by the way, it's apples and oranges, right? Like, we're dealing with a movie that was based on a book by one of the greatest novelists in I don't know, ever, and we're then dealing with a movie that is way past when the book stopped. Mm. Like, this is akin to every TV show that's on season 3 or season 4, but they got to the end of the book after season 1 or 2, and they were like, we could figure this out.
Sure.
I bet we could keep going and keep this up. Like, yeah, okay, Handmaid's Tale. You didn't, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer because I think the reason why they're making these movies is, one, they kill at the box office. People go to see it. I mean, it's a big dinosaur movie. It's a summer blockbuster. It's going to do well.
Listen, if I was Steven Spielberg and I would have watched the movie and been like, that was dog shit, we're making 8 more.
Yeah, right. But like, people want to root back in the nostalgia of like Hollywood at its best. I mean, Jurassic Park, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
You want to do it again. It's never going to happen, but you sure try. You're going to get the budget for it.
Right. But as you said at the beginning, like, the reason you were excited was because it was truly as like rebirthy. It's called that for a reason.
Of course.
It was truly like as rebooty as you could have done in the Jurassic World universe.
Yeah.
Where they just sort of went ahead in time and they took all new characters and they threw them in there. And these are the ones you're supposed to care about now. And that's good. Right? Right? Right?
Sure. I think the movie would have landed better if there was none of this DNA, like, manipulation, weird, you know, grotesque, genetically modified dinosaurs. I think if it was the original dinosaur set and they had to do the same thing, and it was a little bit more gritty rather than
science-y. Yeah, but didn't they already do that? Like with one of the Chris Pratt ones, right, where they had Sam Neill and they had everybody.
That was the third one.
That was the nostalgia bomb version of Jurassic Park, and they sort of just shot their shot. Like that was everything they could have done nostalgia bomb wise, which is why they the next time out were like, well, we gotta have to do all new people now because there is no more meat on that bone anymore.
Or just don't do another one. You know,
they have to. It makes so much money.
It did make so much money. Now, do you think, I mean, it made almost $1 billion.
Yeah.
Do we think there's going to be a Jurassic World Rebirth 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Yes. For like, no doubt in anybody's mind, they will continue to make these movies.
But, like, what can they do? You know, where
four times its budget. Who gives a shit?
Where are they going to go?
Do Pulp Fiction, but with dinosaurs. And call it Jurassic Pulp Fiction. And $1 million again.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm struggling to grasp with this series. Now, I loved the Jurassic Park series. The first two movies were fine. Three was not great. And then, like, Jurassic World was good. I didn't dislike it. It wasn't the best. But where are they going with this now? Like, what do you do next?
Yeah, no, I look forward to, at the very least, figuring out where they decide this for this to go, because I do think, I mean, every time a new one comes out, I always think, wow, they've really written themselves into a shit corner once again. And they just go like, no, it can just be 100% different. And now it's different. Isn't that good? And the answer sort of is no. But at the same time, it's the, I know I keep coming back to this, which is, I'm honestly annoyed with myself, but it's the fourth highest grossing movie of the year.
Yeah, right.
Do you know the three movies that grossed more?
I would say maybe, I don't know. I was going to say maybe Superman or Fantastic Four, like a comic book movie, but I don't know.
Superman made $240 million less than Jurassic World Rebirth and is at six. Yeah. The movies that made more than Jurassic World Rebirth, a Minecraft movie at 955 mil. Gross. Lilo and Stitch at $1 billion.
What the hell?
Yep. I mean, and Nezah 2 at $2.2 billion. I mean,
what is it?
Nezah 2. Have you seen anything about Nezah 2?
Nope. Never heard of that.
Okay. It is, well, I mean, it's a Chinese movie, and you should watch like the trailer for it. The animation is really sick.
Did it come out in the States? Is it out in the States?
Let's go. I have no idea.
Interesting.
Watch Nezah 2.
I've never heard of this.
Actually, it's literally playing at Cinemark right now. And you could watch it for $2 on Amazon Prime if you'd like.
Unreal. Unreal. Well, so this is kids' movies freaking sell, man.
Yeah, but at the same time, okay, this is a whole other thing, and I apologize. I just watched a YouTube video that was 2 hours and 34 minutes long. And it is called 1,000 Player Simulate Civilization, Rich and Poor. And it's based on a private Minecraft server that has 1,000 characters or 1,000 players in it. And that I watched it all last night, and it was better than most movies I've seen in the last 5 years. It truly is a great, great, great video. And as I was watching it and thinking, boy, I'm going to be talking about Jurassic World Rebirth tomorrow. Like, it pales in comparison to this YouTube video about a video game. Like,
you sent this to me.
Oh, yeah. I sent it to everybody because, like, truly, it's so well done. It took 2 years to make.
Wow.
And Jurassic World, I bet, did too, but just to varying degrees of success.
Yeah, that is why. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's 2.5 hours long.
Yeah. And it's absolutely incredible.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you, Minecraft is not the first thing that I will ever watch. But this seems like a little bit more my speed in terms of like how to digest Minecraft, I think.
Yeah, no, it's great just because it's the narration is great and the story has characters that you're rooting for and rooting against and actually care about when he gets eaten by a dinosaur. That happened in Jurassic World, obviously, but you know what I mean? When that man got eaten by that dinosaur and I'm supposed to be like, oh, I'm so glad that man got eaten by that dinosaur. I was mostly like, well, I mean, the dinosaur looked cool.
It was fine, I guess it looked cool, except for the D-Rex. It was it was frumpy looking dino.
This is all. This is what I'll say to wrap this up.
Yeah,
I would have preferred it if the dinosaurs ate everybody and there were nobody left and the only dinosaurs.
And the dinosaurs survived.
And if you want to survive as a lifelong member or audience member of this channel, you can do so and also help us out along the way by, you know, just doing whatever Adam says for you to do next.
Yeah, just listen to me. You're all telling Superior, please. Follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. If you donate $1 or more a month, you can get all these episodes early and ad free and also get some Patreon exclusives peppered in there when we do them. And you also get your name read off at the end of every episode. And that's a very cool thing. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Fantastic Foreskins, Clementine Penny Feather Best Name, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajamas 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for continuing to be our $5 month tier patron. We appreciate you, but we do appreciate all of you for what you do for us. Please follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Podcast or at the HBO Boys Pod on TikTok, Threads, Instagram. I'm very active on Threads. It's a cool little network over there. Take a look if you want to and follow me and interact with me. It's pretty fun. I get into fights with people.
I want, this is important to note. Adam is the one doing the Threads.
It's me.
They are opinions of Adam and Adam alone.
It is me. Yeah. And people get real heated about stuff and I will respond to them because it's not under my name.
Yeah. Adam is over on Threads rage baiting people. And I want it to be known that Ryan has no say in what words goes on that thread.
You know, it's only on those really hyper specific topics, never on normal like movies.
Listen,
and TV
someday they're going to be read back to me in a courthouse and I'm going to be like, I had no clue what Adam was doing over there.
Come on. It's not that bad.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's riveting.
If you want to see that drama, go ahead over there.
Yeah, join us next time. We'll talk probably about Peacemaker season 2 coming up here.
I will watch Peacemaker. I think we can do that. Are they doing episodic release or is it all out already?
I want to say it's episodic.
Oh, sure. Okay, cool.
Yeah, thanks. So we'll see you next time, guys. Go watch... More Jurassic Park 1.
No, don't do it. Oh, okay. I was going to say, don't watch the new one.
Don't fucking do that.
Go watch the first one. The first one's great.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.